Paseo Montoya grew up in Elmira, California. He comes from a family of artists, including his father, Malaquias Montoya, a renowned artist, activist, and educator, and his late brother, my very good friend, Andres Montoya, whose poetry collection, The Ice Worker Sings and Other Poems, won the American Book Award in 2000. Maceo graduated from Yale in 2002 and received his MFA from Columbia University in painting in 2006. His paintings and drawings have been featured in exhibitions all over the world, and he has been called by Latino Stories one of the top 10 new Latino writers to watch. And his new book just came out, The Deportation of Whopper Barraza. Maceo Montoya, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
We should probably change the name of the show to the Montoya Show, because we just had your cousin Richard on the other day, and then we always have the Andres Montoya Poetry Prize winners, who was your brother. Andres was your brother. So we're like, this is like the Montoya radio show.
That's great.
Before we get into your new book, The Deportation of Whopper Barraza, which I read in manuscript form and think it's a fantastic book, let's talk a little bit about, I think our listeners would be really interested in the family that you come from, the Montoyas. Your father is Malaquias Montoya, who is certainly, you know, one of the most important Chicano artists, you know, in the history of Chicano art, I would say. He kind of revitalized and contributed to defining the entire poster art movement and Chicano art movement. And then you have your uncle, Jose Montoya, who, well, godfather of Chicano poetry, great artist, founder of the RCAF, and then Richard Montoya, who is the founder of Culture Clash and now just has a new movie coming out. And then, my gosh, and then you. This is ridiculous. What was it like coming from a family like that?
Well, I guess I've always known just how special and how lucky I am to be a part of this family. And my main, I guess, creative relationship has been with my dad as my mentor, and principally just with my artwork, and whether it was just drawing lessons, but more just the example of what one can do with the artwork. And both my dad and my uncle Jose became artists along with the Chicano movement, and so there was always this idea that art, their visual work, their poetry, my tio Jose was also a musician, served a social function, and so I was always aware of that. And then, of course, there's my brother Andres, the poet, and I think that when he passed away, and just kind of sorting through that, sorting through his life and reading through his words, and that had a big impact on my development as an artist. But you'd be surprised, even though coming from a family of artists, we don't sit around and talk about art. My conversations with my uncle, you know, were few when it comes to anything regarding literature or visual work, but I guess just being surrounded by it and knowing who these figures were and the importance that they had in their community. And only recently have Richard and I kind of dialogued just about the challenges that are out there facing an artist. And so that's been really, really important. And there's also my cousin Tomas, I should mention, Richard's younger brother, who's an artist, and we're the same age. And we've gone on trips together, and we've continued a dialogue for many years. And so I guess just having that, you know, I just have always realized just how special that is to feel like you're a part of something greater, whether it's your family or even just the community that you're part of. That's always been a fundamental part of my artwork, my visual work, and also my writing.
You know, because you're both a painter and a writer. And unlike me, I'm also a painter, but I'm not a painter like you're a painter. You studied at Columbia?
Yeah, I got my MFA.
You got your MFA in Visual Arts at Columbia University. And did you have the idea that you were going to be a writer and an artist the whole way through, or how did that happen?
I didn't. I began as a visual artist, as a painter, and I had an idea that I enjoyed writing, or more so I just enjoyed stories and storytelling. And so my paintings were always very narrative. And I became a painter through working on murals. And of course there's a strong story tied to muralism, whether it's a religious message or a political message, or there's always some story in there. You know, look at the Mexican muralists, and you know, they're telling the whole history of Mexico and you know, very narrative driven. And so when I started my own murals, you know, there was always that story involved. But it wasn't until I moved to Knight's Landing, which is a small town close to Woodland, maybe about 10, 15 miles away. And this was after I graduated from college. And I had this idea that I just wanted to hole up in a room and paint. I knew how to draw. I was always, you know, I felt like I had some skill there, but I wanted to teach myself how to paint. And so I rented a room in this little town and set up my easel and just started to work. And the first couple of paintings that I worked on, I would show to whether it's the woman whose house I rented the room from. I played soccer across the street with all these guys that were from Michoacan. And, you know, they were just curious what I was doing in this little town. And so I'd show them my work. And I found that they had all these stories that they wanted to tell because they recognized the figures in my painting. And the stories were fascinating. They provided details that weren't in the painting. And I wanted to capture those somehow. And so it began just as a feeling that not that the painting was unsuccessful, but that it lacked something somehow. And rather than trying to place it in the painting, which I would do or eventually become more adept at doing, but I started to write those details down. And they started as long, elaborate titles, and then it became vignettes and then short stories. And as soon as that started to take hold, I knew that it was this dual project. You know, what the painting alone wasn't enough, that the writing somehow satisfied this larger vision that I had. Then it became very exciting. That was my first attempt at a novel, was The Dreams of Juan Jose and Other Stories of Knight's Landing. And it was about 50 paintings. It was a very productive year, and then the accompanying stories. And so it was a very exciting time for me to figure that out. And it wasn't until later, after that project, that I kind of realized that I had to, my development as a writer and my development as an artist kind of had to take their own course. I had to become, I think, a better writer. Also, you know, to continue develop as a painter. And so they took separate tracks after that.
You know, it's like you're the opposite of me. It took me, because I didn't study painting, and as an artist, I had to, you know, paint a long time and work at it and work at it and work at it until my skills caught up with my imagination. And I think that, does that feel that way for your writing? That somehow your skills had to catch up with your imagination as you learned to write?
Sort of. For me, it was more, I knew that even, you know, when I was younger with the painting, with the visual work, that, you know, even if it wasn't as skillful, say, as my later work, you know, more trained, there was still like a feeling that I knew I was able to capture, and I knew it. And I would look at the work, and I would feel like whatever I had inside is there. And now I look at those early works, and, you know, I'm embarrassed by some of the technical aspects, but at least there's that feeling. And that was the hardest thing for me in writing, was it wasn't as obvious. I was searching in the dark, really, and that took years. You know, I would plug away and work very hard at trying to make these stories successful, but there was that feeling was always elusive. And to be honest, you know, it remains the case. I think it's less accessible, and I've improved as a writer, and I feel much more confident about my work. But when it comes to actually capturing that feeling, I'm much more confident when it comes to the visual work than I am to the written. You know, yet it doesn't bother me necessarily. I love how difficult it is to find that feeling in writing, whereas with the visual work, it's a nice break just to, you know, that guttural feeling, knowing that I can let it out, that it'll merge somehow onto the paper or onto the canvas.
We're talking to Maceo Montoya, artist and writer, whose new book, The Deportation of Whopper Barraza, just came out, which is really a very funny book in many ways, about a guy who is completely immersed in the culture of Northern California, gets deported because he's not a citizen, and suddenly finds himself not really speaking Spanish very well and living in Mexico. Wonderful premise. I'm looking at your webpage, maceomontoya.com, and you have a gallery, and it has some of your paintings and your drawings, and they're just beautiful. I mean, they're just, you're a fantastic painter. But one other thing I'm noticing is that your painting not only reflects a region, Knight's Landing, Woodland, the farm workers in Northern California, But it also tells a story. Even the images tell a story, and it's as if the story itself just needs to be, you just need to express the story of the people that you met and the people that you're around. I'm looking at one right now called The Cruel Violence of Families. And it looks like there was a birthday party, probably for a child, because there's balloons. But there was a fight, and we're seeing the aftermath of the fight, or right when the fight is broken up. And in the background, you see the grain silos, and it's all very gray, and it's all very dark. The kids are, like, you know, hiding in the background. So it's like you were telling stories even when you were painting.
Definitely. And one thing that I found with my painting is that it would emerge, I guess, darker or more somber. And my writing, whenever I sat down to write these stories, they'd come out lighthearted or more humorous. And that, like, I definitely feel like I get from my family. You know, if you were to look at my father, Malaquias Montoya's work, it's very dark, it's very harsh, it's very blunt. And yet, my dad is a very funny man and tells wonderful stories. You know, I grew up with him as a disciplinarian and very... You know, not necessarily strict, but, you know, he had high expectations for how he wanted his children to be and act and respond to the world. And yet, you know, every time he tells a story, it's with the intention of making someone laugh. And then, of course, my tío José, his poetry and his storytelling, it was all just locura, craziness, and telling a story, entertaining. So I think that I inherited that, definitely. It came out more naturally, I think, in my writing, this desire to, you know, tell these difficult stories, these very, very, very hard, you know, realities of life, but to also to entertain and to make people laugh. And I think that those are the stories that I respond to, the authors whose work I admire. It's always because, you know, I'm laughing out loud and I'm just so curious. How do they do that? How do they recreate that moment so that someone... you know, however many years later, picks up a book and laughs out loud. So to me, that's a fascinating aspect of storytelling. Whereas with the painting, as you described, that scene, you know, it's dark, somber. But at the same time, you know, I think that there's humorous aspects of that piece. The balloons, the piñata that's in the corner, the old viejito who's could care less that there's this huge fight, this brawl that's going on at a family party. And it's just, I think, more subtle, and it's more about the tone than anything else.
Your paintings, a lot of them remind me of Goya in terms of, you know, his kind of darker period, his black paintings. They're very dark, but your novels, The Deportation of Whopper Barraza, and then your first novel, which I also read and loved, The Scoundrel and the Optimist, they're just funny. I mean, they're laugh-out-loud funny, and it kind of reminds me more of a Garcia Marquez at his funniest moments. Who are your literary influences when it comes to novels?
Garcia Marquez would be one of them, and I also, you know, really appreciate his humor. And then the Russian novelist, there's always this, you know, Dostoevsky, a hysterical humor to his work, The Brothers Karamazov, and then the Gogol, Dead Souls. I remember picking up a copy of Dead Souls, and there is this kind of dark Soviet realist painting on the front cover, and I thought, oh, this must be just a really, you know, heavy book. And then to open it up, and it's just, you know, one page after another, just jokes left and right, and a certain tone to describing the situation. Italo Zevo, Zeno's Conscience, Thomas Bernhardt, some of his works, and Gunther Grass, The Tin Drum, all these books that I think are dealing with, to one extent or another, heavy historical themes, but that are also very funny. And I think that that's what appeals to me most.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that this last novel, why didn't you do the cover? Was that an issue with a publisher, or you didn't want to do it, or?
I submitted a couple images, and they ended up not accepting them. They, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction, and I kind of disrespect the marketing team, and that they have an idea of what they want or what that, you know, book buyers will respond to, and so I just, you know, I kind of let it go. But it was the same thing with my first novel. That started with a painting. It was a 14-year-old boy found in the desert next to his dead father, and it was a painting that I made when I was in grad school. And it was met with complete indifference, you know, showing people in the critiques, my fellow students, professors, and, you know, they just saw another painting of poor Mexicans, and Diego Rivera had, you know, he did that 70 years before. Like, what was I bringing new to the table? And for me, it was a new story. It was an important story. It had to be told. And so instead of faulting them, you know, knowing I can't stand by my painting and insist that this is something important to respond to, that was kind of my process in writing The Scoundrel and the Optimist. I wanted to tell that story knowing where it would end with that image, the mm-hmm. boy next to his dead father in the desert. But again, when I started telling that story, it came out lighthearted and humorous. And so the press, you know, they said, when I shared that painting with them, which I think it would have been great to have that painting on the cover, they said, you know, it was a little bit too dark, too somber for what was reflected in the pages. And so I ended up painting another work, and they accepted that. And I'm happy with that painting. But no, the second one, they decided to go in another direction. And I think I'm okay with that. Again, I see different places for my work, and the deportation of Whopper Barraza was one of those projects where it was just about the written page.
Have you ever thought about putting your art and your words together by doing a graphic novel?
You know, I haven't, and I mean, I've thought about it, of course, but one of the reasons why I hesitate is just the idea of drawing the same figure over and over. You know, I'm sure I would have to, I could practice and you know, to have one character and then to redraw that character, or have the characters be recognizable in each frame, just seems so tedious to me. I enjoy this kind of a painting and creating a whole world and these characters that emerge just from the brush strokes and the charcoal. So I think that process would be different and kind of more difficult, not having like an illustrator background.
We're running short of time here, so we want to talk about The Deportation of Whopper Barraza, your book that just came out from University of New Mexico Press. Tell us first about Whopper Barraza. Where did you get a name like that?
Well, The Deportation of Whopper Barraza, the story that the novel is based on, is a woodland story. And a friend of a friend, his brother, after getting his fourth DUI, was deported to Mexico. And the only place he knew to go was his parents' hometown, his rancho in the middle of Michoacan. And when I heard that story, it was just so fascinating to me because he hadn't been to Mexico since he was 3 or 4 years old, and he just had to figure it out. And that guy actually ended up raising sheep or mm-hmm. some sort of livestock there. And it was just something that I continued to think about, and I wanted to. It started as a short story. And it wasn't until I got to how to develop the story that these other characters emerged. And but as far as the name, there's a guy in Woodland named Whopper, and he told me his story at the gym once, and I just cracked up. And I asked him. I said, "Can I use that in a story once?" And I hope he said yes. I think he said yes.
Tell us the story real quick.
He told me, "I always like to eat," and he's a big guy. And he was going to a soccer tournament, and his dad, before they went to the soccer tournament, decided to buy the whole team Whoppers when they're only a dollar each in the back seat with him. And by the time they got to the tournament, which was about 2 hours away, he'd eaten all of the Whoppers. And so the father announces, "I got lunch for everyone," and all he found in the bag were the wrappings. So. And, of course, Whopper, he ended up pretty sick and not able to play. And so I just thought, well, I mean, for one, there's nothing more, you know, they have this American idea of the Burger King Whopper. And I actually had to change that story just because not wanting to get in trouble with Burger King Corporation. But it's more or less that's the story that's in the book.
Right. That's fantastic. It's a great book. It's humorous. It's poignant. And we highly recommend it. I hope it does well. Good luck on that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Marcel, thank you for being on our show today, Words on a Wire. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, no, for me too. Thank you both.